Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Today is Palm Sunday. And hallelujah, that's a good thing. And we're so blessed that we live in West Palm Beach, Lake Worth, South Florida, because we see palm trees all over the place. And so Palm Sunday isn't necessarily about a palm tree, but the reason that they call it Palm Sunday is because today, many, many years ago, when Jesus was entering into the last week of his life, he was entering into the city and the people were celebrating him and they were cheering and they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, the highest form of praise, because they saw their Messiah coming. They believed at that time, how many know a lot can change in a week? But at that time, on that day, they were shouting and they were exuberant and they were giving all the praise to him. And as he came, they recognized who he was. They believed he was the Messiah. They believed he was the Son of God. And they were putting palm branches in his path and actually taking off their jackets and their cloaks and laying those because they wanted to lay out a way for him. They recognized his holiness. They recognized his majesty, and they didn't want his feet to hit the ground. It was a show of honor. It was a show of recognition that they knew who he was. But a lot changed. A lot changed in that week. And so today we're going to do a message. I've done this message before, but I love it because it prepares you for Easter. And you know, Easter is such a special day. It's the day where our title of our Easter message is Easter Changes Everything. And it does. But let's get prepared as we move forward towards Easter. Let's not let it be just another day, another Sunday. Let's let it be what it is, the day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen. Let's let it be the day. Let's remember that it's the day that truly changed everything. It made the way for us to be able to speak to God. It made the way for us to be translated out of darkness into light. It made the way for salvation. Amen. And when Jesus did all that, he did it all for us. But what we're going to do today is I'm going to ask you this question. Think about what would you do if you only had, and you knew you only had a week to live? That would be very sobering, wouldn't it? Very sobering thought. You know, I actually, this past week, I was talking with someone who discovered that they actually do only have weeks to live. And they don't go to church here, and actually they're not a believer yet. Yet. It was a sad conversation, but I believe the Lord put me in that person's path because they may only have weeks on this earth, but they have eternity somewhere. Amen. But think about that. If we only had a week to live, and as we look through the week that Jesus lived, his last week on this earth, and we see it begins on what is called Palm Sunday, and we look at that week, I want to highlight just five things that Jesus did in the last week of his life, and I think they have meaning for us today. And we always say, and people wear the bracelets, what would Jesus do? Well, let's look at what Jesus did. And let's remind ourselves that everything that Jesus did, this is such a valuable lesson to learn. Everything that Jesus did, when you follow his life on this earth, everything that he did falls into two categories. Everything. He either did it for me. That means I don't have to do it. He did it for me. He went to the cross for me. He gave his life for me. He had stripes on his back for me. I don't have to do that. He did it for me, right? That's one category. The second is, he did it to show me how. He prayed to show me how. He laid hands on the sick to show me how. He did miracles to show me how. He did it as an example for me. So everything, he's either an example or a substitute. He's either an example for me or a substitute for me. And so when we look through the last week of Jesus' life, we're going to see many examples for me. Amen? And so turn over in your Bibles to Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. I didn't put this in my notes. I'm going to have to read up here with you guys. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. Here we go. We're going to look at why today is called Palm Sunday. And it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there and her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. Let's just stop right there. You know, I love the story of the donkey, and I've taught that message many times. But you know, that message is so important because not only is it told in the Gospels, it's also a prophecy told in Zechariah in the Old Testament. That donkey's important. Yeah. Amen? That donkey is important to the story. And there are so many messages we can learn here, but I just want to point out one. The donkey was where he needed to be when Jesus needed him. Yeah. Amen? You know what? It's important to be where Jesus needs you to be when he needs you. The Bible tells us over and over through the word that we're to be planted in the house of God. Man, don't let anybody uproot you. Plant somewhere so that when God has need of you, you're going to be where he needs you to be. Amen? You're going to be where he needs you to be. You got to plant. We'll keep going. It says, if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord has need of it. Verse number 4, it says, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That means it was young and hadn't been ridden before. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. This is Jesus. Man, when God shows up somewhere, things get stirred. Amen? Things get stirred up. There's so many messages in here, but we got to stay on track. All right. All right, so we see here, this is why today is called Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of a very long week. Amen? And maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I got a lot coming up this week. It's going to be a long week. Well, you know what? Let's get prepared like Jesus did. Amen? Let's see what Jesus did. And so then in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, this is where we're going to start. It says, there were two blind men sitting on the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. Then the crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David. Jesus stood still and called them, saying, now you got to remember everything that's going on. There's this entire crowd of people. They're throwing palm branches on him. I mean, this is a big deal. Jesus has somewhere to be. Jesus has a busy week. Jesus is going to give his life for the entire salvation of the human race. And you think you've got a big week, right? Right? Jesus has got a big week here. But I love where it says Jesus stood still. No matter how busy we are, when people cry out for mercy, Jesus stopped. He stood still. It says, and Jesus stood still, called them saying, What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for thee? They said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And the Bible says, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight and followed him. You know, when we think about this, Jesus is on a crucial mission. The last week of his life, he's got a full plate. He's got a full agenda. The people closest to him don't want him to stop, yet Jesus stops. The crowd is yelling at the people, be quiet. You know, this is the Son of David. But, you know, Jesus never lost sight of what was important, and that's people. People are important. He says, what do you want me to do for you? They said, Lord, let our eyes be open. And the Bible says, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Moved with compassion. My question is, when's the last time that we were moved with compassion? When's the last time we were moved? You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and how many have noticed the incredible increase of delivery services? You can get anything delivered. Now, let me just let you in on the enemy's plan. How many want to know the enemy's plan? The Bible says, know the enemy's plan and do what?
Plan against it.
The enemy's plan is to isolate us, to keep us in our homes with the doors shut, watching TV, watching other lives, scrolling through our phones, and looking at Facebook and Instagram, where people only put the best of themselves up usually, right? You know, I mean, sometimes you're like, man, are these people for real? You know? And sometimes you see them in real life and you're like, you don't look like your Instagram. You look different, right? But the thing is, and so now we can get everything delivered. You can get your groceries delivered, your food delivered, an ice cream sundae delivered. You can get a Biggie iced tea delivered. You can get anything delivered now. And delivery services are multiplying more than anything else in commerce right now. You know why? Because people are isolating themselves and staying home because they can. And now you can watch TV, you can watch church online. So I don't even have to go to church now. I can just watch online. Here's what's happening. We are losing compassion because you are moved with compassion when you see people that need you. So the enemy wants to pull us all back into our safe little cocoon where we can just be with people that look like us, talk like us, sound like us, live like us, and we don't have to deal with anybody else. But we've got to get out into the crowd. We've got to get out into people. We've got to see people because Jesus, when they called on him, he stood still because he saw them. Another scripture says, and Jesus, seeing the crowd, this is another time when Jesus saw the crowd, he said, they are like sheep without a shepherd. When it says, when he saw the crowd, he was moved with compassion. We're moved with compassion when we see stuff. And that's why the enemy's trying to keep you isolated and alone, because he knows that the power of God's on the inside of you. He knows that what people need is on the inside of you. And if he can keep you away from people, he'll keep the answer they need away from people. We got to be moved with compassion. And sometimes we can see so much stuff that we're just like, we get cold to it. We get hard to it. It's like, oh, well, that person, this person, that person. Man, compassion is a vital part of being a Christian. It's Christ-like. It's Christ-like. But we got to see people. And so we see here, I love it, says Jesus stood still. And when I read that, I wanna locate myself. I want to be real with where I'm at. And I want to ask myself, when's the last time I stood still for somebody? When's the last time I stood still for somebody? Isn't that a good question to ask ourselves? When's the last time I just put the phone down and didn't care what time it was and talked with somebody? Amen? Let's be moved with compassion. You know, we're looking at, you know, I want my life to matter. How about you? If I want my life to matter, if I want my life to count, I need to make it as Christ-like as possible. Amen. Because if you think about everybody whose life has mattered, has anybody's life mattered more than his? No. Other people have done amazing things, but nobody is Jesus. And so I want to follow him. He said, I love when the two blind men, it says, they received their sight, and you know what they did? They followed him. So often we receive from Jesus and we go back to our own ways. Man, when God does a work, let's follow him. Yes. Amen? I want my life to count. And so over in Luke chapter 19, another scripture, we look at what Jesus was doing. We're following his life. And it says, Jesus headed straight up to Jerusalem. Right at the crest, the whole crowd of disciples burst into enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works they had witnessed. But look at this. Some Pharisees from the crowd, say some Pharisees. Listen, Pharisees aren't just in the New Testament. They're not just when Jesus walked. There's Pharisees around today. Anybody say I met one? And here's what a Pharisee is more concerned about the rules than they are about the relationship, pretty much. That's a good way to put it. They're more about what you're doing on the outside than what's going on the inside. If you got the outside looking good, that's all they care about. It's about what it looks like. And so some Pharisees from the crowd told him, Teacher, get your disciples under control. And you know what? Let's just, you know, and I'm just gonna flow here. I didn't mean to talk about a lot of this stuff, but the whole delivery thing, I didn't mean to talk about that, but that's good. But, you know, get your disciples under control. You know, I bet there's times in this service where you think, I wish those people would get under control. I wish those people would get it together, would stop doing that. But Jesus said, if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. Somebody's talking. Somebody's recording. The Bible says, oh, the Bible app. I'll read it for you. You don't need the Bible app this morning. You said at night. That's what we do. And so Jesus said, the Pharisees, the people that want everything, all the boxes checked, they want to be like, you sit here and you act this way and you say it like this and you do it like this. And you know what? That didn't happen because when Jesus gets into the mix, when the Holy Ghost gets into the mix, things get stirred up. Yeah. People get stirred up. Amen. I want to be in the presence of God where I get stirred up. I don't want to be where it's just like, sit still and listen. Right? There's time for that, but this is Passover. Passover is a time of celebration. It's the yearly celebration that all the people are doing, and this is where we get Palm Sunday from. And as Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, people saw what was prophesied. They saw a miracle of God, and they're doing all this. Like I said, they're putting the cloaks down. They're putting the palm branches down, and they're thinking that Jesus is coming to be king over Jerusalem. They think that this is why everything changed in a week, because somebody thought, oh, that's not what's happening. They thought he was coming to be king. They thought he was coming to make things right earthly, to set up an earthly kingdom. And they were praising and they were cheering. And the Pharisees, they didn't want that enthusiasm to spread. They didn't want everybody's excitement about Jesus to spread. And it says, keep your guys quiet. Get your disciples under control, one translation says. But you know what? You can't box up God.
Amen.
And when you try, you're going to miss out. That's that control tendency that's on the inside of us. Some of us a little more than others. I'll be honest. It's that control tendency. You can't box up God. You can't box up true praise. You can't be quiet. And Jesus said, listen, if they're quiet, even the rocks are going to cry out. Even the rocks are going to cry out. And, you know, there's a scripture that says if no one hears the gospel, they'll see the glory and they'll see the presence of God in nature. When you look at nature and you look at the beauty that God has created and you look at how things work, you see godliness. Yes. What's happening? It's crying out. It's crying out of the reality of God. And so Jesus said, listen, it's time to celebrate. And so in the last week of Jesus' life, he stood still. He took time for compassion, but he also celebrated. Man, Easter is the biggest celebration we have. It's bigger than New Year's. It's bigger than everything because it's the day that changes everything. Amen? And so this week, let's take time out to remember that this is a celebration. Let's let that life, don't box up the goodness of God on the inside of you. Let it out, because when you let it out, it gets on people. Celebrating is contagious. You ever notice that? It's contagious. You ever been with funny people and somebody's laughing? You don't even know what's funny, but you just start laughing because it's contagious. Like, what are you laughing at? I don't know. It's the environment. It's the presence. And you know what? How much more so God?
Amen.
Don't box it. Let it out. Man, let your coworkers know. This is an exciting time for me. Easter is coming. It's an exciting time for me. This is Passover week. You know, people are talking about Passover. You know, let's let them know. Listen, it is Passover week, but there's more to the story.
Yes.
Amen. Let's celebrate the goodness of God. Let's take some time to worship and praise Him and remind ourselves how good God is. You know, as a Christian, the Bible tells us that we're filled with God's Spirit. And one of that is the spirit of joy. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there's joy in His presence. There's joy in worship. There's joy in praise. And Jesus said, I want you to have joy. And He said, I want your joy to even be complete. How many think that sounds good? Amen. Complete joy. Doesn't that sound good? You know, and you say, well, that's not my personality. Listen, you don't say you got to look like somebody else. Don't put a label on yourself. Don't do that. Just let what's in you out. Amen. Listen, I don't act like other people. There's certain people that, you know, I don't want to name any names, but, you know, there's certain people, they act a certain way. I'm not going to say, oh, I got to act like that. No, I just want to let what's in me out. That's all it is. Maybe what's in you is just raising your hands. Maybe what's in you, you know, is crying. Some people in the presence of God, man, they just cry. The tears come. You say, well, I thought that was joy. It's a good cry.
Amen.
It's a good cry. So don't look at other people. That's where that comparison, the enemy always wants you to be like, oh, well, you're not like so-and-so. I don't need to be like so-and-so. So-and-so is so-and-so. I'm me. I just need to let what's in me out. It's a time of celebrating. And so when that part of you, when that Pharisee mindset starts coming, get it together. Take control. I don't want control. I want to let God have control.
Amen.
Amen. I want to let what's in me out. That's good.
Amen.
Let's take some time to celebrate. Amen. And then the next one is really my favorite. And this is this week, one of the things that Jesus did, He showed what was important. Showed what was important. In Matthew 26, just for the sake of time, I'll just tell you the story. We all know the story. But it's in Matthew 26, if you want to look at it. It's where the woman pours the perfume over Jesus. How many know the story? If you don't, I'll tell it to you. This was an act of impulse. It wasn't spontaneous. It wasn't something that didn't have thought. And the reason we know that is because she had to walk it over to Simon's house. She had to walk over with this thing of perfume to Simon's house. It wasn't spontaneous, but it was extravagant. And the Bible says she began to pour the perfume over his head and his shoulders and down his back. And you know, I'm sure that if she could have, she would have poured herself onto him. Because we know that this was probably the most valuable thing that she had. The most valuable, think about what's the most valuable thing that you have? You know, maybe, you know, what, you know, if there was an emergency and they said you can grab one thing, not a person, not a pet, because those, of course, those would be the first things, but just an item, what would you grab? What would you grab? You know, last night, yesterday was a long day. It's been kind of a long week, and Just share. This has really nothing to do with anything, but something that's important to me is I have this cup. You know, I'm a Tervis tumbler girl. How many know what a Tervis tumbler is? If you don't, you need to Google it. Best cup ever. And so I have this Tervis tumbler. My mom, my grandmother, you know, my mom was always like, oh, no, it's got to be a Tervis tumbler. You know, she was a cup snob, and she passed that on to me. And so anyway, I have her cup. It says Betty on it. And I've had it for, obviously, probably, well, I stole it from her. Then she passed away, and I just kept it. And because I was always taking her Tervis tumblers, because I didn't have as many then. And so she would come down to my house and say, and just grab all of her cups and go home. And but last night I pulled out of the cabinet, and I looked at it, and I was like, you know, just random. I pulled out, it was my mom's cup, it says Betty on it. And I said, oh, what a great day to drink from this cup. That's why be careful purging things. You may not realize the value of things now, especially if your parents are still alive. I know there's a big move to purge everything. Be careful, because things take on a greater value at different times in your life. And so anyway, I saw that cup, and you know, if there was an emergency, and it was like grab just a couple of things, I think I'd grab that cup. Because it's valuable to me. It's important to me. And so here we see with this woman, she's bringing what's valuable to her, what's important to her. And the Bible says that she pours it out on Jesus, which may seem a waste. And the other disciples and the Pharisees, the religious people around, they were like, why are you wasting that? You could have sold that and given it to the poor. You could have done so many other things with it. And we know just from study that perfume, the value of it was, listen to this, one average year of wages for that time. How many know that's a lot? That's a lot of money. That's a lot. And so she pours it on them. And the Bible tells us how important, how valuable it is. I mean, just think about that. Think about what's valuable to you and why it's valuable. Because everybody around was saying, you're wasting that. That's not, you should have sold that. You should have done this with it. You should value it in a different way. But here's what Jesus does. Jesus kind of puts a stop to the whole thing. And he says, no, gang, this is important. This is important. Because we might think it's wasteful, but Jesus said, I see it as valuable. Jesus saw it as valuable. Some things we think that are important to God are worthless to God. If somebody were to come into my house, I have much newer, nicer Tervis tumblers. I even have personalized ones with pictures of people, vacations, my dogs, you know. I have all those. And the one with my mom's name on it is probably one of the oldest. And it's getting a little, you know, it's like 30 years old. But Tervis tumblers have a lifetime warranty, just FYI, right? If you were to come into my house, you would never think looking for valuables. That is not something you would take. But to me, it's very valuable. And so see, I have a different value system than someone coming into my house. And as believers, we need to have a different value system than everybody on the outside. What does Jesus value? What does God value? Because here, everybody's like, that's a big waste. What are you doing? You know, sometimes the things Jesus did didn't make sense to anybody. But he showed the value. Because he stopped everybody. He said, no, this is important. You might see it as wasteful. You might see it as of wasting time, wasting energy, wasting money. I'm sure somebody's told you giving tithe to the church is wasteful. I'm sure somebody's told you that's not good financial sense. They do not value the things of God. And I tell you, a life built on the things of God is going to carry you and is going to be stronger than a life built on the opinions of people ever will. Ever will. And so somebody may say something is not valuable and it's not important, but we need to ask ourselves, what does God value? Jesus wasn't looking at the perfume, he was looking at the woman. He was looking at her heart. He didn't see the action, he saw the heart behind it. And he said, this is valuable. We see it again when Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. When they come in there and Peter walks in on the scene, and you got to remember, whoever washed the feet of people that came in, it was the lowest job in the house. Because they're walking in streets, they're wearing sandals, just get an idea. They're walking in streets, there's animals in the streets. There's all kinds, where there's animals, there's, you know. So they're walking. I mean, it's a dirty place. It's dusty. It's dry. It's dirty. And they're coming in. They don't want to bring all that into the house. So there was always a servant, and he would wash the feet. And here Jesus takes the towel, puts it around his waist, and he begins to wash the feet of the disciples. And Peter is like, wait a minute. You're not washing my feet. You're not washing my feet. Well, what did Jesus tell him? He set him straight. He said, no, what you think before is going to be different now because of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part of me. And Peter catches on very quick. He says, well, then wash my whole head and my body also. What'd he do? He's like, all right, if this is the way you want to do it, let's do it. Let's value what Jesus values. Amen? Let's take time to remember what's important. Take time to evaluate and say, you know what? I want to make my life count. I want to do things that matter. I just don't want to exist on this earth. And if you do that, you've got to make sure that you take time to evaluate things, because before you know it, a whole bunch of unimportant stuff has jammed your day and you've missed out on what's important. You know what's most important to God? People.
Amen.
It's people. And that's why the enemy's trying to pull you away from people as much as he can. As much as he can. People matter to God. God, what's of value to you? We need to ask ourselves that. God, what's of value to you? Is what I'm about to bring you value? You know, sometimes everybody just wants to figure out what's wrong with everything. Let me tell you something. God doesn't value that. God values people. God values people's hearts. God values people's lives. God values people. And Pharisees will always have a problem with that. Always. I read a quote the other day by a guy. It was so good. He said, you had no idea how messed up and how much you needed God, but you also had no idea how much he loved you and how he would take you any way you came. And I thought, man, that's so good. People that get Pharisee-type thinking, they don't realize how messed up they are. Because their focus is so much on you and what you're doing wrong, they won't look at themselves. And that's why it's important to stay healthy, is that we stop. We do what Jesus did. We stand still and we evaluate. Man, am I valuing what God values? God values people. And if you're not pouring into people, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it a little bit. What do I value? The next thing that we see is in Luke 22, it says, Jesus left the city and went to the Mount of Olives as he often did. His followers went with him. Man, it's good to follow Jesus. When he reached the place, he said to them, pray for strength against temptation. Then Jesus went about a stone's throw away from them. He kneeled down and he prayed. Jesus is in the last week of his life. He's getting ready to fulfill the mission that he was sent to do. But yet he was not too busy to pray. Isn't that a great lesson? That's such a powerful lesson. Can you imagine the word of the miracles that he had done had gone out? He'd laid hands on two blind people just a couple days before, and they received their sight. He came into the city and people were cheering. There was a whole crowd. Can you imagine the demand that was on him? There had to be. I mean, people are the same. You know, people are like, oh, the Bible's old fashioned. The Bible is old, but here's the thing. People haven't changed. People haven't changed. We still need all the same things that the Bible teaches us. Because times change, people don't. People don't. We still have all the same problems. And there were sick people there. There were demon-possessed people there. There were people there that needed Jesus. Can you imagine just the lines of people, bringing themselves to him? You know, I mean, it must have been incredible. And yet in all of that, he was not too busy to pray. It says people followed around him. He told them, pray for strength against temptation. And then he went about and he kneeled down and he prayed. He found time to pray. And this isn't the only example that he did this. He did this several times through the week. It's a busy week, his last week. And yet he stops his world, which stopped everything around him, and he prayed. You can never be too busy to not pray. Because it's going to get you into trouble. Jesus is showing us by example, you're not too busy to pray. Next time you say you're too busy to pray, ask yourself this. Was Jesus too busy to pray? Do I have a week like Jesus had? No, I don't. If he could do it, he's showing me I can do it. Don't fall for the lie that prayer needs to be long, prayer needs to be hours, prayer needs to be, in a dark room, in a closet somewhere. No, it can be those things, but don't say I can't do it if I don't do it that way. Do it wherever you are, when you can. But this is a great example because he got away and he knelt down to pray. He wasn't driving. He wasn't doing the dishes. He wasn't blow drying his hair. He was putting all of his focus, all of his attention on prayer. There's power in that.
Amen.
There's power in that. And Jesus shows us you're not too busy for it. This week, let's make sure we take time to connect with God. Let's not get too busy. Too busy that we're not praying. Jesus shows us that. And then the last thing, the fifth thing here, we see over here where Jesus is all the disciples and he's getting ready to be taken into custody. We know this story. We know this story. And what happens here, it says, when the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they explained, Master, shall we fight? What happened? They're in the garden and the Romans are coming and they're coming to take Jesus away. And they bring an entire army for one man. Because they knew deep down who he was. They bring a whole army. And if you read the story, you see that Jesus just to prove nobody takes my life. I give it freely. He knocked them all on their butt. Knocked them all on their backsides, the Bible said. Knocked an entire army on their backs. What was he proving? You're not taking me. I'm going freely.
Amen.
He proved it. You're not taking me. But in all the commotion, I mean, think about everything that's happened. We're at the almost to the end of the week. We're getting there. This is where everything is starting. Everything is changing. People have turned against him. They've lied against him. Judas has lied against him. All this stuff is happening. They were praising him on Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna. But now the army's coming for him. And so in all this commotion, the disciples say, when the other disciples saw this was about to happen, they said, Master, shall we fight? We brought along the swords. Shall we fight? I got my sword. They were still thinking it was a natural fight. They were still thinking that it was all natural. But Jesus didn't come to change the day. He came to change the world. Amen. He didn't come to save a few. He came to save mankind. You can't do that naturally. You can't do that with a sword. You do that in the spirit. Amen? He says, one of them slashed at the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Guess who that one of them was? It was Peter. The servant's name was Malchus. Cut his ear off. Jesus said, stop. No more of this. This is what I want us to see. He touched the place. He touched the man's ear and healed him. Think about what is going on. Get a vision of what is happening. Peter's got his sword out, slicing somebody's ear off. The disciples are ready to fight. An entire army has come. But Jesus still stops. He stops and he heals basically a nobody's ear. Isn't that incredible? One translation, he touched the place where the man's ear had been, and he restored it. And that's so good. That's so powerful. You know, just catch the drama that's happening here. The night that he's arrested, Jesus is surrounded by this crowd, but it still takes time to reconcile. And you know what? This week, as we're getting ready to close here, don't check out yet. Everybody got one of these cards when you came in. They're awesome. They say, a week to the cross. Let's make this the most impactful Easter that we've had personally. Because when you have an impactful Easter personally, it will impact others. It will impact others. Sometimes we get so focused on reaching out, which is good, and we are going to reach out. But let's also make sure that we are remembering. That we don't get cold and Easter becomes just another day. Let's take this week for the cross. Let's let it be a life-changing week, because it can be. And so on here we have just what Jesus did. On Monday, let's celebrate. Let's remind ourselves how good God is. Let's remind ourselves of the things that God has done in our lives. And so on Monday, let's take time to celebrate. Let's say a prayer of thanksgiving. Let's say, and you know, you say, I'm not going to do that. Why not? Why not? Too busy watching TV? Too busy going on Facebook? Too busy watching other people's lives? Let's take a step back and let's do our life. Amen. I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to do my life this week. And I'm going to physically write down, instead of reading everybody else's, I'm going to take my own. Let's write down, what are 10 things you're thankful for? Man, it's powerful to be in Thanksgiving. It reminds you of the goodness of God. It reminds you that God has done some great things in your life. And it, you know what it does? It builds hope. Too many hopeless people. We need some hope. And you know how you stir up hope? You remind yourself how good God is. And so let's just do it. What do you got to lose? Nothing. And everything to gain. And so let's write down 10 things you're thankful for. 10 things that are worthy of celebration. Let's celebrate that we're born again.
Yes.
Amen. Let's celebrate. Man, I'm born again. I was on my way to hell at one point. I was on my way to hell, but God, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for me, amen, but God, we need to celebrate that. Remind yourself, you're not the same anymore. Man, we're different. Let's remind ourselves. So, I say this a lot, but it's true. Sometimes you can be saved so long, you forget how amazing it is. There's a lot of us in here. We've been saved 25 years. We've been in this church over 20 years. Don't let the awesomeness of getting saved become common. Let's celebrate. On Tuesday, it says compassion. And let's do just like what Jesus did. Let's choose two people we can serve today. Let's just, for two people, just like Jesus did, let's help somebody that cannot do anything for us. Instead of passing by that homeless person, let's roll the window down. Let's ask them what their name is. Let's ask them what their name is. Let's pray for them. Let's look them in the eye and let's remember that's a person. You don't have to give them money if you don't want to, but let's give them respect if nothing else. Amen? Or that person at work that just always needs help, right? How many got one of those? I don't. Everybody I work with is awesome. Everybody I work with is awesome. But you know, we all know people. Let's help somebody that can't do anything for me. They can't further my career. They can't pay me. They can't do anything for me. But I'm gonna help you anyway. Let's be compassionate. Amen? But in order to be compassionate, you got to get outside. Let's give a big tip to that single single mom waitress that you go to all the time. Instead of getting your calculator out and figuring out what exactly 20% is, let's just round it up at 20. Let's give 100% tip. If the bill's 20 bucks, let's give 20 bucks. That's 100%, right? Yeah? Okay. Just checking. Got to check the math whiz over there, you know? You know what it is? That's compassion. That's doing for somebody what, and they can't do anything for you. Let's be compassionate. Let's lay hands on somebody who's sick. Yeah. Amen? Let's pray for somebody who's hurting instead of just being, oh, I hope it works out. We've all done that. Let's let this week be different. Let's get our eyes open. Let's see people the way God sees people. Amen? Let's ask God, Lord, send me to the right people. Send me to the right people that need compassion today. It might be somebody you live with. Might be somebody real close. And then on Wednesday, let's evaluate some things. And on Wednesday, we'll do communion here Wednesday night. What is it you value? Are godly things valuable to you? Godly things. On Thursday, it says, let's connect. Jesus was praying. He took time to pray. All this week, Monday through Friday, we're going to pray here at 7 o'clock. We're going to pray for our Easter service and for the surrounding churches. We're going to pray for them too. Easter is a big day. It's a day when people's, there's no other holiday that competes with Easter. You know, nothing competes with Easter. Easter is Easter. A bunny does not compete with Jesus. Right? And so Easter is a day when people's hearts are open. People, even in our culture, as far away from church as we've come, people still think Easter means church. And so we're going to pray. We're going to pray for people. We're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray for this church, for other churches. And so if you want to come and connect, come and connect. Say, I got a busy week. Jesus had a busy week. And then on Friday, we're going to remember. Friday's Good Friday. We're going to remember that Jesus died for you because of his great love for you. We're going to remember that Jesus died so we could truly live. And let's ask ourselves, man, am I truly living? Or am I just got caught up in the habit of life? And not living life. See, there's a difference. And so this week, as we take our week to the cross, let's all take the time to make this Easter impactful. Let's not let it be just another Sunday. Let's not let this week be another week. This is a week that changed everything. This is a week where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life for us. And we remember that. Amen? And so all this week, we got these cards for you. I would just encourage everybody, take one of these cards, put it somewhere good. Let's do this together so that this week is different. And you know what? When you put into God, man, he shows up. You do something different, you get something different. And so let's do something different. Amen? Let's pray together.